Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 11 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And let's read verse 15 together too, ready? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even the Christ. I'll read yet two other verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Then also 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, we're so glad that your presence is already here. Lord, I know that in some churches they think they have it, but I'm so glad when we come here, we know we've got you here. We know that the man of God has spent time with you. Father, he's brought what he has talked with you about, what you've talked with him about, back to us. Now please, we're a needy people. Meet those needs today. May we listen, and may the Holy Spirit control us as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon right off the bat, and I think it'll describe itself as it unfolds. I'm going to talk to you today about this, how to grow. How to grow. You need to back the volume off just a little bit on this for me. Let me remind you of some scripture that we've already read. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 12, it's actually verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God is saying, I gave you some people to help you. I think the Bible teaches that when God sends a pastor to a local New Testament church, that it is God's gift to that church. And so whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me. I'm your gift. You got the booby prize, but you got one. And so, but it says here that God gives them. That word give there is gift. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You drop down to verse 14 and he says that we henceforth be no more children. In verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God is telling us here why he gave us a pastor, why he gave us certain leaders in the church. And God said, I give you a pastor. And he says, first of all, for the perfecting of the saints. Now what does that mean? Well, that word perfecting is a Greek word, katartimos, katartimos. It means helping you to become completely furnished, completely furnished. It's like a home. Your pastor is to help you to furnish your spiritual home. Your pastor is, you know, in a home, you in the living room, you usually have a coffee table maybe, and you might have a couch and a chair and a lamp or two, and you know what it takes to furnish a particular room or to furnish the whole house. In the kitchen, you're going to need a stove, you're going to need a refrigerator, and those type things. And God is saying that your pastor is to help to perfect the saints. The word perfecting is the word furnishing, helping you to have all the necessary furnishings. It does not mean perfecting there does not mean flawless. It does not mean that you're sinless. It is like when a child is born, when a brand new baby is born, you'll count the toes on its feet, and if there are 10, and you count the fingers on the hands, and if there are 10, you say, it's a perfect baby. Now, that's not a perfect baby, but it has all the parts that it needs. And God is saying that a pastor helps to perfect the saints, meaning helping them to have all the furnishings to have a good Christian life. The pastor helps you to get what you need in all areas of life to succeed as a Christian. And so that's why a pastor is given. In this passage, it talks about the edifying of God's people. The word there for edifying, a Greek word, okadame. Okadame, it's where we get our word edifying, is where we get our word edifice. Edifice. Edifice would be in regard to architecture, the building of something. Pastors are to help to build you and to help you to grow spiritually strong, as if he is building an edifice, or you are being built into a structure of architecture. And then if the pastor does it right, he helps you to furnish every room in that edifice of your spiritual life. The Bible says that he is doing this so that we be no more children. In other words, the pastors, they help you to grow up. That we be no more children. We are not to remain spiritual babies. I wish we had time for it. We do not. But if we went to 3 John, and there is only one chapter in 3 John, it's in 3 John, verse number 2, John is writing to a man he called the well-beloved Gaius. And as John is writing to him, listen to what John says. I'll read one verse to you. John says, "Beloved," writing to this man named Gaius, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, what John was saying was, he said, "Gaius, I wish that your physical body was as strong as your spiritual self." Now think about that for a second. This man was so spiritual that John said, "I wish that your physical body was as strong as your spiritual self." What would happen, folks, in regard to this thing called growth? What would happen if your physical body was equal to your spiritual body or your spiritual standing with God? What would happen if you grew no taller physically than you are spiritually? We'd have some Christians running around going, "Hello. Hello, everybody." We would be spiritual midgets. We'd be little people. We'd be the size of the army toys that our children can get down at Walmart in a plastic bag with 100 little plastic people. Wow. How tall would you be? In verse 15 of this same passage here in Ephesians, he says the man of God, the pastor, while he is trying to help perfect or to furnish the Christian, while he's trying to build an edifice or trying to build them into something that is an architectural masterpiece, and he is trying to help them grow so there are no more children, the Bible says now he does this by telling the truth in love. That's my job. It says, speaking the truth in love. Why? To help you grow up. So I must tell the truth, or people will not grow properly. I must preach the truth, or people will not grow properly. See, biblical truth is to a Christian what milk is to a baby. The Bible says, love the people, but preach the truth. And if the preacher will love the people while preaching the truth, the result is that they will grow up. That's exactly what he said. He said they will grow up. If I said to you today, there's some of you, you just need to grow up. And you might be offended with that, but that's what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell you to grow up. That's my job. I'm to tell you to grow up. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. You know what you're supposed to do? You are to desire the things of God so that you can grow up just like a baby desires milk, so it will grow up. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Today I want to talk to you about this subject, how to grow or how to grow up. One of the comments I hear the most from the people in our congregation is about how they're growing. They're growing. I've heard someone say, I've grown more in 18 months than in the last 20 years of my spiritual life. And let me say this, by the way. If there are people that have come to this church since I came, there were people that were in this church before I came, and if you weren't growing before I came, it was not because you weren't being fed. You might have had a muzzle on your mouth. You were being fed. But I've heard people say, I'm having a personal spiritual revival, and I'm growing at a rapid rate. I heard someone say, I've learned more, Brother Owens, since you came than I've learned in my entire Christian life. Well, that's what ought to be happening. We ought to be growing. A church's growth is not just to be numerical. Oh, not at all. Not at all. Spiritual growth is our goal. But see, if people are truly growing spiritually, then the church will grow numerically. Let me say it again. If people are truly growing spiritually, the church will grow numerically. You say, how is that? Because if you're growing, you're getting a concern about the souls of men, and you want to see people saved, so you're out winning people to Christ or bringing them to church because you have grown to the point that you care about other people more than you care about yourself. And so when you grow to that point, you start bringing people so they may grow too, because you've gotten your eyes off yourself and you've gotten your eyes on other people. You see, that's part of growth. Soul winning is a part of spiritual growth. Love for others is a part of spiritual growth. And if you are growing, then you're getting concerned that others grow. And when that happens, we start bringing people to grow with us. And so spiritual growth gives birth to numerical growth. You know, it's not always true, though, that if something is growing numerically, that it is growing spiritually. I said it's not always true that if something is growing numerically, that it's growing spiritually. You know, not everything that's growing is alive. I said something about this summer. I made one statement about it. I said not everything that's growing is alive. Some so-called churches are increasing numerically. They are swelling. But they've done anything they can to attract people. They'll put a rock and roll band on the platform in church. We got to get a crowd. You can't reach the youth of today. You can't? Have you looked around our church? By the way, I'm not just against it at church. I'm against it, period. But they have no separations or standards. Anything goes to keep people. Anything goes to attract people, except any doctrine, because you just have to have people to get the job done. They won't stand for the King James Bible. They won't stand against sin. They don't have preaching, they have drama. There are churches everywhere that are replacing preaching with drama. There'll be a cold day where the Burger Man lives before we have guy get up here in tights and dance around to entertain you to keep you in church. If you like people dance around in tights, you've got a problem anyway, bud. Drama won't change this nation. Preaching will. Preaching will. But you know, not everything that is growing is necessarily alive and spiritual. This summer, we live on what's the name of our road? No, the other one. Yeah, we live off of McCubbin's Hollow Road out here at Back Creek Valley. And this summer, I drove early in the morning, I drove through and somebody hit a possum. old possum was laying there on the road dead. Seemed dead. At least I wouldn't lay where he was laying if I weren't dead. I came back that night, and you know, I noticed something. By the time the evening had hit, he was bigger than he was in the morning. I got up the next day, and when I drove to work, he was bigger one day later than he was the day before in the morning. About 3 days later, he was the biggest possum in the United States of America. He was swollen. I stopped the car. I kicked him. You know what? He was full of maggots. He's full of maggots. He was swollen. But you know what? He wasn't alive. That wasn't life. He was swelling. He was growing. And I say to you, not everything out there that is growing is alive. People say this to me. They say, Brother Owens, I left such and such church because I was not growing there. There were a couple reasons for it. Could be your fault you were not growing. You know, it's very hard to feed people that won't open their mouth. Or it could be that that spiritual restaurant, that church, that spiritual chef, the pastor, maybe their cooking ability was not what it should be. I don't know. I want to show you something. This is, I call it a growth chart. When I show it to you, act excited. I can do this the other way too, watch. That's a growth chart. Oh, it's the thing so cute. It's got a little giraffe on here and a green hippopotamus and a purple lion and a blue bear. And it's just adorable. And that right there is a growth chart. Now, my mom, when I was growing up, we didn't have such. You know, she took a pencil, you stood by the door, and she marked the door. Now today, we have ultraviolet rays that measure our children. You know, you can buy this thing. You can figure out if they're a boy or a girl before they're ever born. That wasn't the case back when our kids were born. We had to guess all the way up to the last minute. Had to change some names and couldn't paint the bedroom before the kid was hatched because you didn't know which kind it was going to be. Well, Mom, what she did, she had a growth chart, and we'd just stand up against the door. And I can remember so well, Mom would say, stand up against the door. And I was always, I'm always getting up on my tippy toes trying to get a little higher because I was interested in growing. And we're always, hey, you know, this growth chart here, it's marked in half inch and one inch increments. We get so excited about the growth of the child. We get so excited. I mean, we walk around and say, let me tell you what size. My kid's got size 12 shoe. It's the same size as his dad. Now, who in the world cares what size your kid's shoe is? You do, because they're growing. They're growing. Oh, look at her. She's got mother's dress on. Well, I don't care. But you told us why. Because she's growing, and you're excited about that. We get excited. Oh, look how he eats. He eats like his grandfather. What? Oh, we're interested in growth. We get excited about growth. Did you know something? I've got a feeling that God feels the very same way about His children. I think that in heaven, there is a growth chart for every single person in this auditorium. And I think in heaven, God has a pencil and He's marking your spiritual growth. And I think in heaven, God gets excited when He sees you grow to a new level. But what I wish is I wish there were a whole bunch of people, when you stand up there on that growth chart, you were doing this. Oh, God, I want to grow. I want to be taller. I want to learn more. I want to go farther. I want to change my life. But so many times that's not the case. How to grow. How to grow. 2 Peter 3:8, the Bible says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me say, first of all, realize you need to grow. You need to grow. The Peter is saying here, you are to grow.
Every person under the sound of my voice should be growing in the Lord. We all need to grow. New Christian, you need to grow. Middle-aged Christian, you need to grow. Old Christian, you need to grow. Layman, you need to grow. Church employee, you need to grow. Preacher, you need to grow. We're to grow all the way to heaven. I'll tell you something. The Wednesday night, I preached a sermon here. The title of it was called Pray About Your Desires. I recommend you get the tape. But pray about your desires. I have to tell you, after I got done preaching, I stepped down off the platform. Dr. Tom Tennis ran up to me like a little kid. I mean, he ran up to me and he said, oh, he said, I'll tell you what, I've been in the ministry over 40 years. He said, I've heard preaching on prayer for all those years. He said, never in my life have I ever heard a sermon on prayer that unfolded a thing to me like what you preached tonight. He said, Brother Owens, that was phenomenal. And I sat there in awe that a man that has been in the ministry for 40 plus years sat in this congregation and grew some more. The greatness today is not the sermon, it's the man who grew under the sermon. He was so excited, like a little kid. I mean, he was just almost bobbing up and down while he was talking, and come over there, and the children will come up to me before or after a service and say, good sermon. He was just like one of them, just like one of them. He was excited like a kid. He was a learner. You know, I noticed this about him. He's always trying to learn something from me. He wants to learn new ways of helping the senior citizens, both in our church and outside of our church. Like a sponge, he'll say, hey, what can we do, preacher? How can we do this? How can we do that? I am very impressed when a man is a senior citizen, when he's been in the ministry over 40 years, and he still has an open spirit enough to be a learner and to grow. May I say to everybody in this building, you are not a finished product. You don't know all there is to know. I am growing. I am growing as your pastor. Due to eating at Ryan's and cheesecake. I mentioned cheesecake 2 weeks ago. I got 7 of them in 3 days set outside my door. You say, what'd you do with them all? None of your business what I did with them all. But I'm growing. I'm growing because of Crumpy's Donuts in Hagerstown. Hey, I'm growing because of caramel-filled ho-hos. I have a box here. Hey, ho-hos are of God. You don't believe it? Listen, dear Pastor Owens, ho-hos are scriptural. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 6, we read, ho-ho, come forth. So these ho-hos came forth to you today from Mrs. Pat Johnson. You can say what you want, but ho-hos are in the Bible. And I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. If you don't like ho-hos, you get yourself right with God. Come to this altar today, and you bow down before God and say it's right in the Bible. Ho-hos are in the Bible. I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. But hey, listen, folks. Realize you need to grow. You need to grow. I need to grow. You can't stay little forever. You can't. I wonder on your growth chart in heaven, I wonder how many little marks God has made for you. There are some of you, you're not growing. You're not growing. You need to grow. Settle in your mind. Everybody in this building, why don't you settle today and say, I need to grow. I need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, be willing to grow. Be willing to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. The word desire there. Look at that word desire. You should desire to grow. First of all, I said, you need to grow. But now I'm saying, you ought to desire to grow. It shouldn't have to be forced on you. You ought to desire growth. You ought to want to grow in the Lord. When a baby wants milk, you can tell. The baby's desire to grow is so strong. It's obvious. Let me ask you, is it obvious to anybody that you want to grow? Well, I've got some people in this church that are just fired up for God. You could ask someone. say, well, what's he like? Say, I don't know, but I know he wants to grow. He wants to grow. Do you? Say, how do you know? Well, you show up for church. Not showing up for church shows a lack of desire to grow. Can we tell you want to grow? Do you cry out for spiritual food? Do you want to grow? Hey, I wish, Brother Hart or Brother Lawrence or somebody up there, turn this little darling on. I wish I could get you to desire God like you desire money. You know God is more important than money. If I could get some of you business people to have a passion for God like you have a passion for your money and your success, the world could not stop the influence you have for God. If I could get some of you to have a passion for God like you have a passion for a physical relationship with the opposite sex. Hey, if you wanted God as much as you want sex, this whole church would be turned upside down for God. The world could not stop. What would happen? Hey, what would happen if we desired God as much as we desire things? We want things. We want all of our toys. We want our nice houses. And I'm for you having a nice house. We want our nice cars. I want you to have a nice car. We have all these nice things. Do you want God as bad as you want a 72-inch television? Probably not, because you probably stay home from church and work overtime to get the money to pay for your TV while you ignore God. And I want you to have nice things. But I say to you, if you've got to be willing to grow. Do you want to grow? Do you desire growth like you desire sex and money and power and things? You'll grow if you want to. You heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know why? You can lead a Christian to biblical growth, but you can't make them grow. I can dish it out there so fast, and Brother Lawrence, make sure we don't turn this up. Maybe just turn it down just a touch. You can lead a Christian to Bible knowledge, but you just can't make them grow. Listen, I am a 43-year-old pastor. I know you thought I was older than that. My hair looks older than 43, but the rest of me is 43, okay? I am a 43-year-old pastor. You may say, I'm older than you. I can't learn from you. I'm 20 years your senior. I'm 30 years your senior. We have people in this church that are 40 and 50 years my senior. Say, I can't learn from you. You may be older than me, but you are not older than the book that I preach. You may be older than I am, but you are not older than the Holy Spirit of God that fills me. You may be older than I am, but you are not older than the God that I serve. You may be older than I am, but you are not older than my boss, and my boss is the eternal one, the everlasting one, the one that always has been and always will be, and God can use a dumb little 43-year-old boy from Central Indiana to change the life of a 60, 70 and an 80-year-old Christian if they have a desire to learn and to grow. It's not based on the age of the person that God's using. It's based on the willingness and the heart and the desire of the object of the teaching. Ask yourself this question. Do I truly want to grow? For instance, you answer this question to yourself right now. Do I want to grow in my Bible knowledge? Do I want to grow in my separation from the world? Now, I'm going to guarantee you something. There are people that are sitting right here in this congregation this morning that when I said, ask yourself the question, do you want to grow in your separation from the world, that answer the question, no, I do not. You understand there's nothing I can do about that? If you don't want to grow, I can't grow you. Ask yourself, do I want to grow in learning to be a good follower? Do I want to grow in my loyalties to God? Do I want to grow in my ability to get along with people? Do I want to grow in the area of holy living? Do I want to grow in the area of my faith? Do I want to grow in the area of my obedience to God? Do I want to grow in my prayer life? You can't stay little forever, folks. Be feedable. Be teachable. Be a learner. You know what I fear? I fear for Christians that have been around, Christians that have been in the church forever, Christians that have Bible college educations, Christians that grew up in the pastor's home. You know what I fear? I fear this. You are embarrassed to grow. You're afraid to let people see you change. You always wanted everybody to think that you always had it together, and for you to change now is to admit that you didn't know it all and you didn't have it all, so you're not about to change because it is an admission to a lack, and you want everybody to think you've got it all together. So you're embarrassed to grow. There are people in this building, you have made spiritual decisions you would not for a moment tell the rest of the church because you want everybody to think you've got it all together. You're embarrassed to grow. You're embarrassed to make certain decisions. And folks, never be embarrassed to grow. Never be embarrassed to grow. We want everybody to think we've got it all together. Hey, we ought to go around admitting the growth. We ought to go around saying, I'll tell you what, I am growing. I am learning. I am enjoying this self. Instead of, yeah,
I already knew all that. Yeah, I already knew all that.
Tell others. Tell the church. Tell the world. And I'll tell you something. You start admitting to spiritual growth and people will flock to this church. You say, why? They want to find out how to grow. They want to find out how to grow. So listen, we all need to grow, every one of us. Not only do we need to grow, you've got to desire growth if you're going to have it. Hey, whether you accept it or not, you need to grow. But if you do accept it, then there's a decision where you're going to desire to grow. Desire growth. Now, you say, well, how do you grow? Let me tell you, here's how you grow. Live what you don't understand. Live what you don't understand. There's somebody out there right now, you go, wait a minute, my mind doesn't allow that. We're not supposed to be going by your mind. That's your problem. You're so impressed with your intelligence, you're not growing in the Lord. Live what you don't understand. Listen to this. Proverbs 3 5, 6, 7, and 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. You know what that says? If you want to grow, you just need to trust God and live what you don't understand. Just trust him. And live what you don't understand. You're not to lean on your own understanding. You're to lean on his understanding. And if he says do it, you just do it, though you don't understand it. Say, I've got to understand it. Hey, it ought to be enough that he understands it, not that you understand it. This is what we expect of our children. Hey, let me tell you something, by the way. It says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And by the time you get to verse number 8, it says it'll be health to your body. You know what it's telling you? If you'll do this, you're going to grow up spiritually, and you'll be spiritually healthy. You know, you trust your doctor that way. Come on, folks. You really do have faith. What do you have it in? You can go down to the doctor and he'll say, here, take this. He pulls out a piece of paper. He takes an ink pen. He scribbles something on it. That's exactly what it looks like. He doesn't know what it is. You don't know what it is. Ron Howard over here, he's working in going to pharmaceutical school. He doesn't know what it is. They go get a bottle of it. You take it. Most of you take medicine just like that because the doctor said, here, take this. Well, let me tell you something. Go ahead, trust your doctor. But I've got good news for you. We have the great physician, and you can trust him with every prescription he's ever written. Why do you say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it? That's not the way to grow in God. You trust him, and you say, I don't understand it. He said it. I'm doing it. He's the doctor. I'm the sick one. I'm going to take the medicine. But that's how you grow. If you want to grow, you're going to have to live what you don't understand. See, it's called faith. Picture that. Faith. By faith, obey God's word and the preaching of his word, and you'll grow. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Would you like your faith to grow exceedingly? Now, how does your faith grow exceedingly? You trust God exceedingly. You do what God says, whether you understand it or not. For your faith to grow, you got to trust in the Lord. You say, I want to know why I'm supposed to do that. It should be enough that He knows why. You stick around here, we'll teach you why. We'll teach you why. But some of you just need to learn to do what God said because God said to do it. By faith, you need to learn to love your enemy. By faith. You know, I don't think I'm ever going to understand baptism totally. I'm not. You're to get baptized after you get saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It is a step of obedience that you take after salvation. I do not understand why God has us get in that tank and he dunks us. Oh, I know. You theologians are saying, well, don't you understand the death, burial, and resurrection? That is a mere reflection of what God did when he died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. Yes, I do. But it still doesn't make sense to me why he wanted to dunk us in a tank of water. I don't understand it completely. None of us understand it completely. Why did he choose for us to get dunked under the water? I don't have to understand it. He told me to do it, so I did it. See, I realized a long time ago, he's God. He doesn't have to explain everything to my puny little brain. We're supposed to live by faith. Faith in the Word of God. For instance, you won't like this. Somebody say, oh, I knew you'd say something about this. You take the thing called tithing. Tithing is where the Bible teaches 1/10 of our gross income ought to be given to God. Well, I don't understand it. Neither do I. He's got everything. Why does he need mine? Say, but I don't like it. Well, either. I mean, I work for him. It makes no sense to me, Brother Owens. But does tithing make sense to you?
No, sir.
It makes sense to you?
No, sir.
Does it make sense to you? Well, I know nothing makes sense to you, brother. You ask anybody in this building, when tithing was presented to them, they said, this does not make sense. Somebody said, if you will give God back 10%, you will have more. I didn't do real good in math. It was not my favorite subject. But how is it if you give 10% away, you have more? Tell you what, folks, try it. Try it. Hey, you go back here and ask Ed Davis. He had years and years and years of teaching experience. It don't make sense mathematically, but it does make sense biblically. There is a way that God can take and give you 100%, ask you to give 10% back, and you have to live off a 90, and many people live like they got 110% because they gave the 10 and lived off the 90 that God promised them he would take care of them. You say, I don't understand it. Neither do I, neither do they, neither does anybody else. The Bible says do it, so just do it, and you will grow. Oh, but I understand that. Okay, you just don't want to do it. The Bible does not say live only what you understand. It says live by faith. It says that which is not of faith is sin. You know something? You know, if you understood it all, you'd be as smart as him, and you wouldn't need him anymore. And I would hate to see him lowered to your level of intelligence, that's for sure. if you understood it all, you would be as smart as him, and you wouldn't need him. You're never going to be as smart as him. You're never going to be as smart as him. You know, the reason you're not growing is because of a lack of faith. If you don't understand it, you won't obey it. Some of you are too impressed with the mind that God gave you. I need to understand it before I'm going to do it. That's not what the Bible teaches. He gave you a mind, and then he said, now by faith, you obey my word. And some of you, you've decided that your mind is necessary for your obedience to his word. He gave you a tool, and you're using the very tool he gave you against him. You're educated beyond your own spiritual ability to perceive and to follow. And you're in trouble. You're just too smart for Dr. Owens and that old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist stuff. We might not be as stupid as what you think. I have a Doctor of Divinity's degree. You say, what's that mean? I'm a professional candy maker. How do you grow? How do you do it? Well, first of all, you live what you don't understand. Number two, live what you don't like. You want to grow, live what you don't like. You can't stay a baby forever, folks. You can't do it. Live what you don't like. See, some of you're not growing because you say, well, I don't understand it. And you're not growing because you say, well, I don't like it. So you're not growing. You're not taking steps forward. Let me read a couple verses to you. And listen, I don't have time to analyze the entire verses, but I can give you the gist of it. Romans 7, 14 and 15 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Here's what it boils down to. Paul said this. Paul said, I have to force myself to do spiritual things. It does not come easy. Because I am a fleshly, carnal person. I have a difficult time. And there are times when I just have to tell me to do what's right, whether I like it or not. Why? Because Paul wanted to grow. Paul wanted to grow. If you want to grow, you need to live what you don't understand. And if you want to grow, you need to live what you don't like. Paul wanted to grow, and he required himself to do what he did not want to do, and he grew because of it. And other than Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul was the greatest man in the New Testament. But he said, there are things that I want to do that God doesn't want me to do, and I have to shut myself down, and I've got to make myself do right. Sometimes that's how you grow. See, our flesh doesn't want to do anything that's spiritual. Your flesh wants your flesh to grow. God wants you to grow spiritually. For instance, in the morning, when the alarm goes off, I don't want to get up. Do you know I make myself get up? And you're going to have to make yourself get up. And some of you are going to have to let the spiritual alarm in life go off and make yourself climb out of bed and do something for God spiritually. Make yourself. I don't feel like it. You won't be employed long if every day you get to work 2 hours late and the boss says, why are you late? Say, well, I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like being here. There's a bigger boss than the one that writes you a puny paycheck every 2 weeks. There's God. Our flesh doesn't want us to do spiritual things. I'm really trying to be careful of my waistline. I know you're thinking, you're a massive hunk of muscle, Brother Owens. I know what you're thinking, but I'm trying to watch this physique of mine. And I am watching it. More of it than I ever watched before. And I get to the restaurant, and the first thing I want to look at is the dessert menu. But something says to me, get a salad. So I order a salad. She says, you want anything on it? I said, yeah, chocolate chips, please. You know what? My flesh says, get a big piece of chocolate pie with chocolate icing and chocolate cake and chocolate milk. Let's all just go home and eat. You want to? But then I realized, hey, Jeff, you can't do what you want all the time. You got to do what's right even if you don't like doing it. And that's how it is in the spirit, our spiritual life. And we require it of our children. For instance, most kids don't get up every morning and say, yay, we're going to school. I see them. You're dragging them in here. They're grabbing the door case and going, no, no, no. And they don't want to go. They forget every item possible at home because you start to back out of the driveway and they say, don't have my lunch. So you have to go back in. They come back out. Don't have my books. You got to go back in. They're trying to delay for 6 hours because I don't want to go to school. You know what you tell your kids? You're going to school. That's how you'll grow. You take a bath or a shower. Most kids are like our puppy. Our puppy doesn't like baths. Showers, no way. But mama doesn't, just because the child doesn't want to take a bath, and even when they do, they don't want to wash anything. You don't just say, all right, don't do it. You don't like it. Oh, no. So you're going to take a shower. You're going to go to school. You're going to eat some vegetables. It's time for some moms and dads to start feeding their kids some of the things that I had to eat. Vegetables and fruits, still good for your kids. But listen, folks, you live what you don't like. Why? That's how you grow. That's how you expect your children to grow. You do what's right because it's right to do, not because you like it. And some of us need to grow up. That's my job as pastor. I'm to tell you to grow up. I'm to tell you the truth in love. I'm not here. I'm not your enemy today. I love you. I'm trying to help you. I want you to grow up in the Lord. But to grow up, it's going to be done by faith. You do what you don't understand. It's going to be done by your might. You're going to have to say to yourself, I've got to do what I don't like to do. Hey, you go to boot camp, and this is what they'll do. At boot camp, they will wake you up in the morning and say, okay, all you guys that would like to come out and do some calisthenics, come on out for a little while. We're going to pass out menus and you just fill it out and tell us what you would like to have and what you would not like to have. Anybody that wants to latrine duty, line up over here. The rest of you guys, go play. They'll say you're going to do what you're told to do, whether you like to do it. And one of these days, you may save our country, save your life, save your fellow soldier. Now get busy. It's funny how living what we don't want to live, if we're required of ourselves before long, it becomes very delightful. I'll tell you, when I was a teenage boy, I had some years where I listened to rock and roll music. Wish I would have never had. Sorry I have to tell you that, but I did. A couple of years I listened to the filth. When I went to church the first time and I heard somebody at church sing, I thought, gag. That's not music. But I knew I needed to get rid of the bad music. Because my preacher showed me in the Bible it did not exalt Christ. It did not edify the body of Christ. He showed me so many things about it. You know, when I gave it up, I did not want to. I knew I needed to. I knew I had to. I didn't understand it totally. I made myself do what I was supposed to do, and it didn't take too very long until the old flesh began to wear down and the spirit began to grow. And now when I listen to the filthy music, I sit back and say, that is not music. I'd rather hear somebody sing about Jesus Christ and amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I seen the same way I got saved. I got saved by faith. I started living by faith. And I began to see the things that I did not understand. But you're not going to grow until you decide to do what you don't like to do and decide to do what you don't understand to do, because it is faith that will grow you, not sight. You are saved by faith. You're lived by faith. That means God said it. I'll do it. Don't understand it. Don't even like it. I'll do it. And then God will reveal to you some understanding. Oh, and be careful. Let me warn you. Be careful that you don't attack the areas that you're not willing to grow. It's where church troublemakers come from. I preach or teach something from that book. You don't like it. You don't understand it. And you're not going to do it. So you have one of two choices.
if you're not going to do it, you're going to have to either leave or attack it. Happens in church all the time. Preacher, preach something from the Bible. Somebody's decided, I will not do that. So I better try to make him look like he's wrong, not me. I don't want to be wrong. Number three, put yourself in a church where you can grow. How do you grow? I'll tell you. You're going to have to live what you don't like. You're going to have to live what you don't understand. You better put yourself in a church where you can grow. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Get in a church where you can grow. Acts 12:24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You know what that meant? It doesn't mean that the word of God expanded. It meant that the influence of the word of God expanded. Why did the influence expand? I'll tell you why. Because the pastor and people did not restrain the word of God. They let it grow. They kept saying, come on. This is what they said to their preacher. Come on, preach it, teach it. We want it. Come on. Just come on and preach it and teach it. They weren't sitting out there saying, well, if he preaches on this, I've had it. No, they said, come on. Come on, feed us, feed us, feed us, feed us, teach us, teach us, teach us, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. And the Bible said the influence of the Word of God grew and grew and grew because the preacher and the people were together to grow. They wanted to grow. When the preacher preaches the Word of God without apology, not trying to please the board, not trying to please the people, but keeping God happy, a church will grow spiritually. The Bible is our textbook. We are not a part of a denomination here, nor will we be, because I will not have a denomination try to feed my people. It is my job to get directly from God what my people need to eat. We are Baptists, but we are independent Baptists. We are not a part of a denomination. I am not going to get a Sunday school quarterly from some person that wrote it that never wins anybody to Jesus Christ and try to tell me how to feed my people when I live with them. I know what my people need. We get this hierarchy in churches and all these people that don't even know our churches try to begin to tell us what we have to do and how we have to do it. I've got a Bible that tells me what to do. I've got a God that tells me what to do. And you're not going to grow if you're in some dead, dry church where the Word of God is not given the privilege of influencing people. The people ought to be taught to read the Bible for themselves. I took 32 straight weeks when I first got here and said, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. You need a church where you're taught to read the Bible for yourself. You need a church where you're surrounded by growers. Hey, are your friends in this church growing with you? If not, be careful. They may choke your growth. They may choke your growth. Some here will outgrow some of your family and friends. I warned some of you this last week. You know, the Bible talks about a man that was sowing some seed. Some seed fell among some thorns, and the thorns reached up and began to choke that seed, and it kept it from growing. There are some of you, you better be careful, because your kids in our school and your kids in our youth group are starting to outgrow parents. And the kids are coming home wanting to live right, but the parents won't have it. And you'll choke your kids, and you'll be sorry someday. You need a church that understands that everybody needs to grow. The new converts need to grow. You know, some churches are just for finished products. You come, you get saved. If you don't get it all together in a matter of a month, you might as well hit the road. Unless you're totally spiritually polished in a month, you're just going to be shoved out of the church. That's why a lot of churches won't grow. There's no space for growth. Then you got other churches. They're going to let somebody stay a baby forever. And so your older spiritual people get disgusted. The preacher wonders why they begin to rebel. And that's because we're catering to every little baby Christian and every little baby desire. And the older Christians are saying, wait a minute here. You're not supposed to live like that. The preacher better learn how to preach to the young ones and preach to the old ones and lift the standard high and give everybody a chance to grow from infancy to adulthood. And if you don't do that, your church won't grow. We need a church where we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What that means is we got to let everybody grow. We have to let everybody go. Everybody here is at a different level of spiritual growth, and everybody needs to take steps up.
If you're a brand new baby Christian, you're in a good place. We'll let you grow. But some of you have been in church for 30 or 40 years. You're going to get your truck loaded around here too. We need a church that will help us to grow in a balanced way, learning to love God while hating evil and love people while hating sin and love righteousness while hating unrighteousness. We need a church that will encourage us to grow as a parent, as a child, as a teen, as a spouse, as a leader, as a follower, to grow in our prayer life and our Bible study, as a citizen, as a soul winner, with our friends, how to deal with our enemies, to grow in the area of being an employee. I'm trying to build a church of well-furnished people. I'm trying to help you become an edifice that is well-furnished and growing in the Lord. My goal is that you grow great. 2 Samuel 5:10 says, and David went on and grew great. I don't want a church. I want a great church. I don't want a bus ministry. I want a great bus ministry. I don't want a people. I want a great people. I don't want a choir. I want a great choir. Because the Bible says you can grow great. If you're not grow, let me tell you something, and I wish I had about 2 more hours. I'm cutting out notes so fast I don't know what to do with them all. I'm about ready to cry about it. Let me tell you something, sincerely. In the balcony, on tape, lower floor and in the choir. If you're not growing here, leave. Go find someplace. If you're not growing here, go someplace and grow. Go on. It's not fair to you. Why stay? Just go ahead. We won't be mad at you. If I can't feed you, if you're not growing, go, and I'm not saying this arrogantly, go find some place where you can grow. Really, that's what we're supposed to do, right? I'm not afraid. It won't bother me. If you can't grow, find a place where you can. Most people leave because they don't want to grow. It's not an issue around here. You can't grow under this preaching. The proof's in the pudding. You mark her down. There are people that will walk out those back doors because they don't want to grow. Boy, be sure you stay away from people and places that hinder growth. Gossips hinder growth. Critics hinder growth. Christians with pride hinder growth. Dead churches hinder growth. There's somebody in here. I don't know your church. You're a visitor today. Your church is dead and you know it. Nobody getting saved, no lives being changed. This sermon today, you're saying, I have learned more Bible in the last 40 minutes sitting here than I learned all year long in my church. Sorry. Dead churches will hinder growth. Books written by theologians that never did anything will hinder growth. You read books by theologians that have never built one single thing. They never grew anything. They just sit around and pushed a pin. Hugh Hefner can do that. People who have been taught right but won't live right hinder growth. People who hinder your obedience to the preaching will hinder growth. I'll tell you something. Most critics in a church like ours are people who never have built one thing for God. They have never built what they're pew setters. And the preacher comes along, and he starts shaking their little nest where they've got their little rump setting, and they've just sat there all these years, and he shakes them and says, it's time to grow. You need to grow up. And they say, I don't like this. I was just fine before he got here. He shakes your nest of non-growth, and you rise up to take your spiritual education of sitting there like a dead doorknob all your life, and you say, I don't like this. You see, most critics have never built one single thing in their life. Hey, I'll tell you what makes me mad. I don't like these men that write the different articles in the newspaper about guys that are coaching in the NFL. They'll criticize them and tear them to shreds. They couldn't kick a football across the field if they wanted to. You got a coach that's going out there and work his tail off and build a group of boys, take them all the way to the top, and then you got some easy chair writer. He went to school to learn to be a writer, and he tears that coach to pieces. Hey, if he's got it together, let's get him an NFL team, and let's see what he could do with it. But it's always a critic that's never built anything, never brings anybody down the aisle, never gets anybody baptized, never builds a church, never builds a Sunday school, but suddenly he's got so much spiritual education, he knows where it's all at. Hey, you be careful getting yourself around the non-growers. The non-growers. And let me tell you something. You can't grow in the Lord until you've been born. You got to get born again before you grow. Nothing grows that's not born. If you're here today and if you died this very day and you're not sure you go to heaven, it's time for some of you to get born again so you can start out to grow. My sermon today, how to grow. If you've listened, you have even grown in the last 45 minutes. God just took out a pen and said, yep, she's grown. He's grown. That's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.